Well, the offseason is in full swing for the defending world champion Golden State Warriors. I have Sophia Jones with me, a point guard for the San Jose State University Spartans women's basketball team. We're going to break down the draft picks, and that's really what these next couple shows that are recorded are going to be about. We're going to really delve into who these picks are, and we're, of course, going to be talking about free agency, but that's just a wild ride that just swings by the second. We obviously will talk about that as well. There's a lot going on for the Golden State Warriors, and we're going to break it down next. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Arcade 1UP. Locked On Warriors is partnering with Arcade 1UP to give away three NBA Jam Shaq machines. That's right, three of them. These are the guys known for making the incredible retro three-quarter scale at-home arcade games like Pac-Man, Golden Tee, and many more. Enter to win on arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade1up.com/lockedon for your chance to win one. You could follow Sophia Jones on Twitter at @SophiaJones_2. She plays point guard for the San Jose State University Spartans women's basketball team. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at @DogSurfRoadshow. Sophia, it's been, I think, a little over a week now since the Warriors won their fourth world title in 8 years. Obviously, that's a celebration that's going to be going on all summer long. But obviously, there's also business to take care of. They recently conducted a draft. Sophia, let's talk about those picks. The Warriors have potentially four new players on their roster. Let's start first off with Patrick Baldwin Jr. You play college basketball. This kid played 1 year. He's now a member of the Golden State Warriors. What is your breakdown of Patrick Baldwin Jr.?
Well, for Patrick Baldwin Jr., he kind of comes to the Warriors as one of the potential steals of the draft I've been seeing. And so he went dad at the University of Milwaukee. And this kind of came prize to some people because he had a lot of offers from these top schools, but he really wanted to play for his dad. Even recruited top players to try to go with him to just really build up that program. And during his 1 year, it was a little on and off. He had some injuries. He injured his ankle, and he wasn't very consistent, honestly. He kind of struggled against the better teams that they played against. So for this pick, it's side, which I think the Warriors have one of the best programs in the NBA. And I think that under their development, really, really good for the Warriors. He's kind of a 4-5 range shooter. He is 6'10". He's very long and has an amazing stroke. So I think it's a really good pick for the Warriors. Has that untapped potential that can do. Previously, kind of what they did with Andrew Wiggins. People were doubting him and his motor and his level of competitiveness. This is some of the doubts that are also under Patrick Baldwin. But I really think that the Warriors have shown in the past that they can revive these players. And I think they'll do the same exact thing for Baldwin.
Yeah, that's one thing that has not that's got a little under the radar is the Warriors' investment in their player development system, which is showing results. I think it's going to show results for many years to come. Now, one thing, and this is where I'd love to get your insights on regarding Patrick Baldwin Jr., is a lot of people rave about his shot, but his shooting percentage was really low. Now, look, he's been battling this ankle injury. We expect to see him, I believe, in summer league. I don't know if that's confirmed or not. We're obviously going to see him play a lot of minutes for the Santa Cruz Warriors. But despite the fact that his shooting percentage was low, what do you see about his form looks beautiful. What do you see about him that could translate to him being this potentially great outside shooter? And why do you think this shooting percentage was low his 1 year at Milwaukee?
Well, kind of like what you said, injuries definitely have a factor, especially ankle, that's, you know, it can really mess up your balance. But when you look at his form and how pure it is, it's kind of more of a thing where you kind of look to the mat, honestly. So being a coach, I mean, being his dad and under that program where it's kind of a little bit more, he was the best player. Sometimes it's hard to kind of be challenged every single day in a way that he would have been for a division program. So that could be kind of like a indicator as why he maybe underperformed a little bit. He just didn't have, no credit being taken away from the other players around him, but you know, it's not on the same caliber. It's hard to really be pushed every single day. They So once he environment where he's surrounded by NBA players and he can work with them and learn, it can really turn into something very, very beneficial for the Warriors.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, that shooting form of his, the percentage, I think, threw a lot of people off in the draft. It scared a lot of people away. I think the Warriors look past that because it looks pure, it looks natural. I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about that. His height is 6'10" is obviously very appealing. The Warriors traded up in the second round, and you know, we're recording this. This is Thursday, June 30th. Free agency has not formally started yet. And again, for a show like this, it's just so hard to do a proper free agency show when things are just happening by the second. So obviously once the Warriors actually make decisions, we'll have future shows talking about who they add, who they hopefully re-sign. But I do think that the $2 million that the Warriors gave up as part of the trade to move up seven places in the draft to acquire Ryan Rollins speaks volumes, simply because it means that they are willing to spend. And I think that bodes well for their chances of reacquiring Kevon Looney, reacquiring Gary Payne the second, because ultimately people are worried about the luxury tax. I mean, the Warriors are deep in it. On average, they're for every dollar they spend for any of these free agents, they're paying 4.5 times that amount for every dollar. So to put in perspective, like a player that they signed for the veteran minimum at $2 million, they're really paying closer to $10 million when you apply the luxury tax, just because they're so high up in it. But so nonetheless, despite that, they're spending. They spent $2 million to trade up seven places to acquire Ryan Rollins. What do you see about this kid, and why do you think the Warriors spent that money to trade up and acquire him?
Well, I was actually reading, and I saw that, you know, usually Steve Kerr, he likes to really be locked in on the series. So one day after practice, just on the elliptical, and he across Ryan Rollins working out, doing a pre-draft workout for the Warriors, and he was really impressed. So I think Steve Kerr had a part in like saying like I want. And with Rollins, he comes from mid-major. He comes from Toledo. Being from a mid-major, there can be like some doubt just because the level of competition isn't as great. I think what some people don't realize is how, when in college, especially today with NIL, there's so much, how do I put this? Any other factors besides talent that go into what makes a roster and whether a player goes to a major school. So when you look at some of these mid-major players, they really are as talented. It's just sometimes so many politics involved that you really don't know, like if there is some of the scenes that like prevented them from going to a certain place. And it's all about fit, whatever the player is most comfortable with. But
right.
While Ron was out, from the footage that I watched on him, he seemed like a very good playmaker, very good scoring ability. And he also had pretty good vision from what I've seen. He's had some nice passes, and he stands at 6'4" and has a 6'10" wingspan, which that was very impressive. Ooh. So he'll be very, very long and some good size perimeter for the Warriors.
I love it. When we come back, I want to talk about those politics that you're referring to, because you clearly know the college game a lot better than I do. You play for D1 school at San Jose State University. First, though, I got to talk about a great sponsor of this program and of the network, Sakara, simply because they're all about food as medicine. They care about what you put in your body because you are what you eat. I firmly believe in that adage. And with a company like Sakara, they're about wellness, joy, and abundance in all areas of your life, starting with what you eat. They're a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. They give you the tools you need to transform your life with their organic, ready-to-eat meal delivery program and functional wellness essentials. Right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their order when they go to sakara.com/lockedon20, or you can enter the code LOCKEDON20 at checkout. Again, that's Sakara, SAKARA.com/lockedon20 to get 20% off your first order. One more time, that's Sakara.com/lockedon20.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. For your second listen, get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. You can follow Sophia Jones on Twitter at @SophiaJones_2. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at @DogSurfRocho. Sophia, you mentioned politics and college basketball and maybe college sports in general. A side note, this news just came down that UCLA and USC might split from the Pac-12. I mean, that is just like mind-blowing news to me. If you follow college athletics at all, we're seeing this drastic shift in terms of the conferences, and we're going to be probably seeing two or three just mega super conferences, and that's it in terms of the big players. There's clearly politics going on. There's NILs now. Sophia, you could literally be paid to play college basketball if you wanted to. In your experience, what are some of these politics? For example, you mentioned Ryan Rollins experienced the politics of that in his case affected him negatively because he went to a school like Toledo where he probably had the talent to go to a bigger program like a Duke or North Carolina. What are some of the politics you've experienced? I mean, is it coaching? Is it boosters? Give us your experience as a D1 player in terms of the politics that you have to deal with playing college basketball.
Yeah, honestly, the environment that I'm in right now, the reason is because it's very politic free. But I see some other players and just hear about my other past teammates and boosters and coaches' ears. That's like one of the big things I've honestly noticed. And it's also with NIL, it's boosters offering like, hey, like if you come here, I can get you an NIL deal. So it's basically a whole to the NCAA rule about colleges not being able to directors to come play for them. And it's stuff like that, and kind of unfortunate that so much stuff nowadays is not related to talent. It can also have connections and who you know.
Yes.
And it can cases where it's based off of stuff like social media, where it's like if you have a good platform on there, then you can like help boost a program in a certain way. So I've just seen a lot of different cases, honestly, where talent.
Sorry to interrupt you. Hold on a second. You're telling me that, I mean, you were one of my students at San Jose State University. That's how we first connected, and you're an aspiring broadcast journalist, and I see great things for you, Sophia. I hope you remember this lesson I taught in the class, which was a lot of media companies, if you're aspiring to be a media professional, and I don't support this, but they do sadly look at your social media presence, especially Twitter. Because with Twitter, there's more of a marketing angle to it. People go there more for information. There are hyperlinks. People click. So there's a lot of measurables in terms of views and unique visitors. And you can even monetize your content off Twitter. But you're sitting here telling me that a college athletic program actually cares about the athletes' social media presence in terms of marketing their athletic programs. You're telling me that marketing angle even extends to the athletes in college sports?
I feel like it is that to a certain extent. Kind of.
Wow.
What I mean also is kind of a chain effect in terms of a player has a certain following, then they have access to some resources that could be like better trainers, just more connections to these coaches overall, and just more exposure. So it's
right
outside factors like that influence whether a person goes to a school, even if it's not directly based on talent. It could just be exposure that they have.
Incredible. So, yeah. That's absolutely incredible. That's wild. I mean, so you're basically telling me that the best talent, athletically speaking, is not always the prime variable for whether or not a program picks an athlete. It's also whether or not they're marketable to increase the awareness of the department itself. That's insane. Do you like, are you okay with that? Like, that doesn't sit well with me. Does that sit well with you? I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, honestly, as a women's basketball player, you know, our sport doesn't get as much exposure as the men's game does. So to a certain extent, when I see these women's basketball more attention and bringing more attention overall, I can sometimes see it as a good thing, honestly.
Okay.
But
yeah,
you're kind of, it does have aspects when you look at sometimes it just doesn't come down to strictly talent.
Yeah, that bother. I just I guess that's just the world we live in, right? Where just who you like, your talents alone, your skill set alone is just sometimes not enough. It's also about, like you mentioned, and that's true, who you know, and in this case, your social media presence. That is just wild. That is crazy to me. And for anyone watching this, aspiring to someday be a college athlete yourself, or to someday, you know, move up and be a media professional, this stuff matters. It's crazy, but true. That's just crazy. Thanks for being so forthright, Sophia. Moving back to the draft, the Warriors did make a third pick. And this was Gui Santos. He played for a Brazilian team, I believe. When you look at the highlights, is it Gui or Gui? I think it's actually Gui Santos. When you see the highlights of Gui, it's really like eye-opening. Like you actually see an explosive athlete who 1 minute can attack the rim and just slam it home. He can also shoot the three, but he did fall deep into the second round. He was the 55th overall pick. Sophia, you did a lot of research prior to this show in terms of the Warriors draft picks. What's your impression of Gui Santos, and why do you think he fell so low in the draft?
I would say one of the reasons, honestly, could age. He is still really young. He just turned 20 years old. Always kind of plays a little bit, and he played on the Brazilian team, and those leagues aren't as competitive as the ones that are seen in Europe. But reasons why I actually think that Gui was drafted by the Warriors is because of his Leandro Barbosa, former
yes.
Warriors. So they actually played together in Brazil. And then they kind of have like a little big brother, little brother rip, and Gui really looks towards Barbosa as a mentor. And so I think that relationship will do Santos well in Golden State, just having a connection already, and especially having a connection to that has been in the environment in the United States, because things operate here.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. And I love Leandro Barbosa. He's one of just the greatest human beings on the planet. I've interviewed him before. I maintain some contact with him. I'd love to get him on the show at some point. And I noticed that as well, that there is a connection there, the Brazilian connection. So there you go. So Gui Santos was the third pick. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up. The Warriors also acquired a player who was not drafted, but immediately signed him to a two-way deal, which we want to break down, because there's only two two-way deals that are offered. And the Warriors have already given one up. So they clearly care a lot about this kid. We're going to talk about him. We're also going to kind of delve into free agency as we wrap things up. First, I want to talk about a longtime sponsor of this program, BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And just to throw some odds at you, they do have the odds out for next year's NBA championship odds to win it. The Warriors are the favorites at 21-4 plus 525. The Clippers are a close second at 11-2, and the Celtics and Bucks are tied for third. And this is going to change clearly, and we're going to talk about this in a moment. The Brooklyn Nets round out the top five before there's a sharp drop off to the Phoenix Suns, who are sixth in the 2023 NBA championship odds. And then weirdly seventh, the LA Lakers. Sophia, what are your thoughts on what I just told you? Why? And look, these odds are made based on fan perception, meaning the odds makers set these lines based on what they think the fans believe, not necessarily what they themselves believe. And the Lakers have this massive fan base who in a lot of ways is very delusional in thinking that the Lakers could actually come back and achieve greatness. I'm telling anybody who believes that, you are floating on cloud nine, nowhere near reality. And the Brooklyn Nets, in case you haven't heard, Kevin Durant has issued a trade request. So the Nets are going to be trading Kevin Durant likely. And that also means that championship odds picture is going to change drastically. In your opinion, Sophia, who are the favorites to win next year so far, given what we know now?
So far, I'm going with the Warriors from the standpoint that even if there's so much movement in free agency, there's always the question of chemistry and if these yes. players can click in a one season time span to be able to win a title, which it has been done. Right. But if they're going up against a team like the who is experienced, you know, you have Clay most likely be coming. He was still kind of getting his footing this year after being out for so long. You have James Wiseman coming back, that really strong presence in the paint, which was kind of one of the only that the Warriors lacked at times during this. You have these other players, or with Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, that young core can really also help provide some good minutes to the Warriors. So I really think when you have us environment as them and you just continue to strengthen that, then it'll be their outside team who is still trying their footing to compete.
You're absolutely right. I think that the chemistry is vitally important. The continuation of the team, hopefully bringing everyone back. I mean, Kevon Looney is favored to come back. Gary Payton II, it seems likely, but until any of these players are officially signed, I think myself and Dub Nation, we're all a little nervous because I think the goal is to just bring as many people back as possible. Otto Porter Jr. as well is important, and we'll break all that down in just a minute. But again, betonline.net remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. They're the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, it's where the game starts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow San Jose State University's point guard for the women's basketball team, Sophia Jones, on Twitter at @SophiaJones_2. And you can follow me on Twitter at @DogSurfRoadshow. I actually honestly just for I don't have the roster in front of me, Who is the fourth guy they picked up? The Warriors added a two-way player. I am totally spacing right now, and I can't find his name. Who is that guy? And tell me about him, please, Sophia. Save me right now. I need it.
Yeah, it's Lester Quiñones. I believe you pronounce it.
Thank you.
He was undrafted and played at the University of Memphis. He's a guard. And he made the freshman team. He spent 3 years and in 2021, they won the NIT championship. So,
oh, okay. All
he
right.
could be a good get for the Warriors just based off of what to see on their development program.
Yeah, there we go. Lester Quiñones. I found the link that I had accidentally closed. 6'5", 208 pounds. So he's got a physical build. He's not exactly thin. So, you know, again, there's only two-way spots that can be offered to a roster. And the fact that they've already offered one of those to Quiñones indicates, and I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, or maybe it's Quiñones. I think it's Quiñones, but I hope I'm getting that right. I will get that right soon. You know, again, there's only two of those. Chris Chioza had one of those last year, but because of the number of years he has played in the NBA, they can no longer offer that to him. Quindary Weatherspoon, a former, I believe, first-round draft pick for the San Antonio Spurs, had that other two-way spot last year, will likely get it again this year. He'll likely be a contributor for the Warriors this season. I like that kid a lot. I know, again, there's a lot of just limited research on Lester. Is there any possibility he could be a long-term fit for the Warriors? Is this someone that's like a project? Do you have any opinions on him? I mean, from the research I have in front of me, which I finally found again, there's positives. I mean, as a sophomore in college, he shot 40% from three. Then his junior year, he shot 39% from three. Those are great numbers coming out of college. But then the negatives are that he's not necessarily someone who can be deemed explosive and athletic, which is probably why he did not get drafted. Your thoughts before we move on Lester Quiñones?
Honestly, don't have that.
It's okay.
But I mean, when you look at the Warriors, they have had some really good with these two-way players, just in terms of snagging some really good picks that are undrafted or lower down the draft. I think it's just have to trust in Myers that they know what they're talking about.
Absolutely. Let's move on to free agency. Kevin Durant announced that he wants to be traded. This is after Kyrie Irving decided to come back and sign his one-year player option. This is really mind-blowing to me, because this essentially means that Kevin Durant, who left a Golden State Warriors dynasty to be buddies with Kyrie Irving, to lead his own team to a world championship, has given up that dream. He no longer wants to play with Kyrie. He no longer wants to play for the Nets. This is mind-blowing. Your thoughts initially on Kevin Durant requesting a trade? He reportedly made the trade request directly to Nets owner Joe Tsai. Or is it Joe Tsai? I'm thinking it's Joe Tsai. Your thoughts on Kevin Durant making a trade request? And any thoughts on where he might go?
I can't say that I'm too surprised that he requested a trade. I feel like,
okay,
you know, just kind of looking at his history a little bit, he isn't a somewhere else into a new environment. And clearly he didn't really care for that Nets environment and feels like he could do better somewhere else. It is kind of shocking that I was reading before that when Kyrie wanted to leave, he was like, oh, okay, since Kyrie, I'll probably leave, but he is looking like he's staying. Kevin Durant still looks like he wants to go somewhere else. But I want to say I saw from Chris Haynes that the Suns are his target.
Correct. I saw that too.
A little bit surprising to me because I felt like one of the issues with Golden State was that he always felt like it was Steph's team. And I feel like if he were to go to an established organization like the Suns, it wouldn't really necessarily be his team. You kind of look towards like Devin Booker, Chris Paul, that like the leaders. So the Suns would be an interesting place for him to go, especially how competitive the Western Conference is. But there's really he could go, honestly.
And just to add on to that, and that's a very astute observation, Sophia, and just to add on to that, reportedly, and there's going to be a lot of rumors and speculation thrown out there when a trade demand this huge drops. The Miami Heat might be another contender for his services, I'm told. I've also read initially that the Nets will not make the trade just to make Durant happy. They do control a lot of leverage given Kevin Durant is locked in for 4 more years in his current guaranteed contract. So the Nets don't have to do a thing if they don't want to, but you also don't want to have a disgruntled Kevin Durant on your team. My curiosity is, I don't see what the Suns could give back that would make the Nets happy. DeAndre Ayton will not be enough. I don't think the Suns would give up Devin Booker. I think that's the only player that would be worthy, would kind of make of Kevin Durant's talents. The Miami Heat, I actually do feel like are a better fit. I don't know who you give up for him outside of maybe a lot of future first round picks, maybe a Tyler Hero to start, making the money matchup. I think Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant on the same team does sound very intriguing. I definitely would love to watch that. I think if karma serves anything, the Nets would just trade him back to Oklahoma City. Let's send him back to where he started. That's crazy. Look, we have no free agency news at the time of this recording. Clearly, the Golden State Warriors reports have come out that other teams are being dissuaded from pursuing Kevon Looney because the Golden State Warriors have reportedly made him their number one priority. Rightfully so. Kevon Looney's been with his team since 2016, and what he did in this postseason was absolutely incredible. He's invaluable for this team. Even if James Wiseman is healthy, his mentorship of Wiseman will be huge. But I also think if Kevon Looney is the number one target, he's the 1A, because I think the 1B would be Gary Payne II. I do not want to see Gary Payne II traded. I'm seeing a lot of teams interested in him. I actually sent out a tweet pleading for him to come back, expressing the Bay Area's love for him. He liked the tweet, which makes me very happy. Gives me some hope. So I think those are the two primary goals, and I really hope the Warriors spend the money to keep both of them. For Gary Payton II, if it really comes down to money and someone out there is offering just a buttload of cash, the Warriors could offer 4 years, $49 million. That is the max amount they could offer Gary Payton II to stay. And I think he would accept that. I don't know if you have to go that high. A lot of this is going to come down to whether or not Lacob and Peter Gruber are willing to spend the money to keep him. And then Otto Porter Jr. would be that third player that I really hope the Warriors bring back. You could bring it back with the mid-level exception. Your thoughts on everything I just said, and are there any free agents out there that you would like the Warriors to pursue? Patty Mills, I saw out there, I think would be a great fit on top of those other three. I don't want to replace anyone. But your thoughts on any prospective free agents out there for the Warriors and the three names I just mentioned?
For the three names you mentioned, I agree a lot in terms of Kevon Looney and Gary are 1 and 2. I feel like, one of the things that you always get told is if you can play defense, you will be on the court. And I feel like that's exactly the case. And even in the finals games, his plus minuses were some of the highest, or even coming off of the bench. So he just provides so many invaluable minutes and just presence on the court that the Warriors really should keep. Kevon Looney, adding on to what you said, he would be a great mentor to Wiseman. and he is still himself, so he could really be a part of for these coming years. And Otto Porter also, he's just kind of, he provides some good length and physicality and athleticism that I feel like is really good. He's able to stretch out the floor, but also kind of guard and play some of the inside players, which the Warriors had issues because maybe they lacked a little bit of that physicality inside. So I feel like Otto Porter would be someone very, very important to keep as well. And then you added Patty Mills as a prospective free agent. And I feel like that would be very good because at the point position, you know, Steph is like also plays off ball a lot. And while Jordan Poole has to be a great ball handler and passer, I feel like Pat will kind of take some of the load off of Jordan F. Curry and be that facilitator and just really like and make the offense just boiled machine. Other prospective free agents, it would honestly just kind of depend on who the Warriors, if they lose any, and who they might need to replace. I feel like if there is anything that they really kind of lacked this season, I felt would just be like that physicality inside. So like if they lose Otto Porter, I feel like that would be someone that they really need to prioritize filling that spot.
And wouldn't be easy. Just, yeah, would, you're right though.
No. But I feel like just kind of getting those types of players, you know, you saw this sometimes where I feel like when Boston really kind of drove and pounded it inside, that's when the Warriors struggled a little bit. So getting those types of presence and just a little bit more length, honestly.
There you go. And that's where I really do feel like Patrick Baldwin Jr. was a huge pickup just because he's long. 6'10" is, that's not a small kid. And if he nails that outside shot down, he could be dangerous in the years to come. Sophia, best of luck your sophomore season. Talking about injuries, I did not realize that you blew out your ACL yourself. And you suffered a second injury, right? It wasn't just the ACL that you blew out?
Yeah, so I tore my ACL and meniscus in one go. Yeah.
That's brutal. Yeah. But you look, you're back, you're playing, and you're young. If you're going to have that injury, it's better to do it when you're younger just because your body rejuvenates much faster and heals better. So good luck. You're only in year two at San Jose State. I hope you earn the starting position. If not, that's totally fine as well. You have quite a few years to go playing there. And it's a really small world because some years ago, I think this was back in like 2015, Raymond Ritter, the head of PR, I think vice president of communications for the Golden State Warriors, sat me down at a Houston Rockets game in Houston next to your dad, Mark Jones. And then like 8 years later, suddenly, or 7 years later, whenever it is, suddenly his daughter is a student of mine. It was just crazy. I blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. And here we all are. It's come full circle. Your dad is the consummate professional. I love that he had the opportunity to call those NBA Finals games. He is the pro's pro. I truly love him, and it doesn't surprise me that he's produced this incredible family. So best of luck. Thanks for joining me. Let's bring you back on soon. Tell your dad and whole family hello for me. And yeah, thank you, Sophia. Any last words before we wrap it up?
Thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun. Sometime in my family, like with my dad wants to cool down on the basketball talk a little bit. So being able to get some of this stuff out. Plus, you know, we're in Miami, so I'm kind of everyone is Heat fans. So being able to kind of really talk about the Warriors is something I enjoy.
I love it. You're welcome to talk Warriors here anytime. We'll have you back on soon, Sophia. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone for your patience. Sorry I've been away for almost a week. I just had a horrible tragedy affect my family. My stepfather, John Veese, rest in peace, just passed away unexpectedly. Just was one minute, he was a 67-year-old man about to have his birthday, healthy as an ox, and then he's found dead on the couch. It's just crazy. Life is short. You know, don't take any of it for granted, folks. Yeah. So, but anyways, I'm back. We're doing this. Free agency is here. The offseason is in full swing. And Sophia, thank you for your astute analysis of the draft picks and your beautiful insights on just player development and the sport of basketball in general. You know the sport, so it's great hearing your opinions on it. And we'll have you back on soon. And Kylan Mills was supposed to join us as well. I want to quickly say as well, hope you're doing okay, Kylan. COVID is still rampant. She came down with it again. Her and her husband, Charlie, right now are suffering. Yeah, it doesn't sound good. So Kylan, I hope you're doing okay. I mean, I'm sure she'll be fine ultimately, but it's just, you know, if you have a bad case of COVID, it's not fun. I just went through it myself. So I'm sure she'll be back on soon. And Sophia, all the best to you. We'll be talking soon. And thank you, everyone. Till the next time. Later.